We now begin the fifth perek of Maseches Shkalim, perek Hei. And this is a simple and fascinating perek that describes the administration of the Beis HaMikdash. Here in the first Mishnah, we're going to list the 15 roles that various people filled in terms of the function of the Beis HaMikdash. And each one will give them a name, like a person's name. And there's a couple of pshatim on what this means, because the Beis HaMikdash, of course, which we're talking about Yesheni now, was extant for 420 years. And therefore, of course, it wasn't one person who filled this role for all those years. So either it means that the name we're given is the first person or the most prominent person who ever filled this role. And according to some, actually, once a person in subsequent generations filled that role, he took on the name of the old person. He's the guy who did it, and he sort of took on the name, as you see it many times in Chazal and certainly in the Tanakh. People change the name over time to fit an appropriate name. And while that seems a little bit uncommon to us, it certainly was the case in, say, European monarchies or series of popes and that kind of thing, L'Havdil, when a person took on the role as the emperor or the king or the pope, he would take on a name that was from a previous emperor or king or pope to fit the bill, even though his personal name up to that time was something totally different. So that's what's happening over here, according to some. Whatever the case, there are 15 roles here. We're going to give them names. The names are, of course, not essential, but the roles are certainly fascinating and important to understand how the Beis HaMikdash functioned. And here they are. Elu hen hamumunin shahayu b'mikdash. These are the following 15 positions as they were appointed in the Beis HaMikdash that had to operate there. The first is Yochanan ben Pinchas ala chosamos. Yochanan ben Pinchas was the person in charge of the vouchers, as we'll see in the third and fourth Mishnah of this perek. There was a voucher system set up where people could essentially give money, get a voucher, and then use the voucher to purchase nesachim, the accompaniments to their korbanos. Typically, all olos and shlomim need nesachim. That includes both wine as well as flour mixed with oil. And there was this voucher system. More on that a little later in the perek. Achia ala nesachim. And Achia was the person who took those vouchers and then gave the person the nesachim they needed. Again, we'll discuss that more in the third and fourth mission of the perek. Matisya ben Shmuel ala paisos. This was the role that was, a pais is like a lottery. And if you learn Maseches Yomo, you'll see that there were typically more kohanim than there were jobs for the kohanim to do. Even though, first of all, there are who knows how many thousands of kohanim in Klal Yisrael, they're divided up into 24 mishmaros, 24 groups, and then that mishmar would just serve for 1 week in rotation. And then even the mishmaros were divided into 6 or 7 batei av. Each beis av would serve for 1 day. But even so, if you imagine that in Klal Yisrael there are 24,000 kohanim, which is perhaps an underestimate, but let's say, so then that means on average each beis av, each mishmar had 1,000 kohanim, and then each beis ha'av had like 150. So on any given day, even though it was just, you know, on the Tuesday, this beis ha'av of this mishmar was serving, that's like 150 people there to serve. There weren't 150 unique jobs, and therefore they had like a lottery system, as detailed a little more in the Maseches Yoma, like I said, to determine who would get the job of doing the taking the ashes and bringing the various things around the Beis HaMikdash, offerings, and so on. So the person in charge of administering that, reminding them what to do and so on, was this role, which is, I guess, personified or identified as the role of Matisya ben Shmuel. Next you have Pesachia alakinim. Pesachia was in charge of the birds. A cane literally means a nest, but it refers to a pair of birds. Certain people, such as the Zav Yoledes, need to bring a pair of birds, and Pesach was in charge of giving the birds rather than bringing birds to the Beis HaMikdash, which I'm sure would be rather tricky. The Beis HaMikdash provided a kind of almost like a vending machine, if you will, where we'll see more as we get into the sixth parak about this. You put money in, and then they took care of the birds for you. So that was Pesachia's role. Now the Mishnah says, Pesachia ze Mordechai. The Pesachia of our Mishnah, and that was his name, is the same person as Mordechai, meaning Mordechai from the Mordechai and Esther story of Purim in the Megillah. And also, by the way, he's the Mordechai Bilshan in Sefer Ezra and the Nehemiah. Olam nikra shmo Pesachia. If his name is Mordechai, so why do we call him Pesachia over here? Now, the word Pesachia is like two words smushed together. Pesach, poseach, is to open up, and ka, yud-kei, is Hashem's name, like one who opens up Hashem's things. Shahaya poseach b'devarim. He would open things up, mysterious things. V'dorshin, and explain them, expound upon them. V'yodea shivim lashon. Not only was he super sensitive in terms of in his intuition and ability to understand things, he actually spoke 70 different languages. Yep. Bilshan, by the way, is understood to be like a notrikon, like a combination of the words bolel lashon. He could combine languages because, according to some, everyone in the Sanhedrin spoke 70 languages, in which case he was unique in his ability to combine those languages and use them sort of interchangeably and in combination. Next, the Mishnah says is Ben Achia al Choli Me'ayim. Ben Achia was in charge for the stomach ailments. The Kohanim had to serve under less than ideal conditions in terms of health. First of all, they had to walk around barefoot. Yerushalayim is cold in the winter. The floor in the basement is made out of stone. It rains. It snows sometimes. So that's not great. And also their clothing was specific, just the four vestments they're allowed to wear, which is rather thin clothing, linen clothing, whatever, not much to keep them warm. And on top of that, they had heavy demands to consume the meat that was offered. There's requirements not to leave meat over. So if there's a lot of korbanos, it means a lot of meat consumption. And that didn't help things to gorge on the meat. And then finally, they didn't get to drink wine as they were used to. Kohanim can't be on service and drink wine. They have to drink straight water. And in antiquity, people like to drink at least mildly alcoholic beverages like wine, beer, ale, mead, and so on because the alcohol inhibits pathogens, whereas straight drinking water oftentimes could give other kind of gastric problems. So therefore, this Ben Achia was like the doctor on staff there to take care of their ailments, to get them, to buy them the first century equivalent of Pepto-Bismol. Nechunya Chofer Shichen. Nechunya was in charge of digging the trenches, the ditches. This is referring to making sure that the water supply was available for those who are coming as pilgrims. Ole Regel, there's a water table, there are wells, there's a system to provide water, but you have to dig in and make sure that the wells and the cisterns, etc., are full. And that was his responsibility. Gavini was the crows. Crows is the crier. He was responsible for waking people up in the Beit HaMikdash. He had a very loud voice, a famous loud voice. And he would announce wake-up time as well as other scheduling. Bartner brings that his specific announcement when he got up in the morning was Amdu Kohanim La'avoda, Kohanim get up for service, Ulevim L'duchnan, and Levim should get onto their duchen is like the bandstand, if you will, like this platform they would stand on, and where they would sing and play music when the Talmud was being offered. The Yisrael Ma'amadan, and as we learn in Maseches Tainus, and elsewhere, that there was when the Tamidin were offered, we have to have all the parts of Klal Yisrael, not just Kohanim, but also Levim and Yisraelim, participating, at least symbolically, vicariously, and that was the Ma'amad of the Yisrael, so they have to get up and do their thing. So he was announcing that they should get up, etc. That was Gnivi's role as the crows. Ben Gever, that was his name, Ben Gever al Ne'ilas Sha'arim. He was in charge of locking up the gates at night and opening them in the morning. In the fifth parak of Sukkah, we talk about how the gates would be opened every morning and there would be trumpets blasted, Trua Tkia Trua. And he was the one who announced when that should be and was in charge of making sure they were opened and closed on time. Ben Vevai al Hapakia. Ben Vevai was in charge of the twine, I'll translate it as. So now the basic shot here is referring to a whip, and he was responsible to make sure that the guards around the base of Mikdash complex were awake at night. In the beginning of Maseches Midos, we learned that there were 24 guarding stations, 3 manned by Kohanim, 21 manned by Levim. And although the base of Mikdash didn't need guarding from thieves and so necessarily, but it did for the sake of conferring sort of kavod and honor to the base of Mikdash. And we had guards there, kind of like, you know, the changing the guards in front of the castle in London, the beefeaters and so on. You have these symbolic guards that confer pride and dignity. So that was their job, and Chas V'Shalom, they should fall asleep on that job. So he was in charge of making sure they didn't fall asleep, and if they did, he would whip them to wake them up. We learn elsewhere that he even sometimes like lit their, put the match in their toes and lit their whatever on fire, their matches on fire to get them up. That was his job. Others learn that Pekia is also referring to not the twine, not of the whip, but the twine of the wicks, and there was a special job to be done, especially in Simchas Beit Seshuev. We learn also in Maseches Sukkah, they had these gigantic menorahs filled with these gigantic fuel reservoirs to make big light for the Simchas Beis Shreva, and they used the worn-out clothing of the Kohanim and made wicks out of it, and that would be that role as well. Next, you have Ben Arza al Hatziltzal. Ben Arza was in charge of the cymbals, that's C-Y-M cymbals, as in like the two metal plates you scratch together. So that is referring to the one in charge of the band. There was a band there in the base of Mikdash of Kohanim, excuse me, of Levim, that would play music while they would sing the Shir Shayom during the pouring of the Nisachim, the wine libation, after the offering of the Tamidin, both Shachar and Ben Harbaim. So the musical, the conductor there was Ben Arza, but instead of having a baton to start them off, he had cymbals to crash to get them going. Hugras ben Levi al Hashir. Hugras, the Levite, was in charge of the music, meaning he was the choir master, and he would be the one who would help them, you know, the choir master, head of the choir, because of course, again, the Levim are singing during the Nisach Hayayin, the Shir Shayom, like we say every day, Hayom Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos, that the Shir Shayom they would sing. You note here that we have a Levi doing work explicitly. Certainly Mordechai from before is from Binyamin, Ishimini. So you see that these roles are not all done by Kohanim. But in any case, there were their jobs in the base of Mikdash that weren't necessary for Kohanim, but I assume many of them were. Base Garmu al Maasa Lechem Hapanim. The Garmu family were the ones who kind of cornered the market on doing the Lechem Hapanim. Lechem Hapanim were those 12 showbreads that sat on the Shulchan in two stacks and were there like 8 days from Shabbos to Shabbos, seven full days, whatever you want to call it. They were quite tricky to make. They're very long, they're large loaves of bread. Each one was 10 tefachim long and 5 tefachim wide. But the tricky part was that they folded over on top, and then they had on four corners of the kind of four horns, if you will, that were like 7 etzbos long, quite long, we'll call it 7 inches long, doesn't matter, that pointed in towards the center cavity, and they, even though they were kind of folded over, they stood up and they didn't like collapse in. So that was a tricky business. And Beis Garmu was one who knew how to make the Lechem Hapanim properly, so they had that job and kept in the family. They wouldn't teach other people. That's a Mishnah Yoma also, Gemara there. Beis Avtinas al Maaseh Ketoras. Beis Avtinas cornered the market on the manufacture of the Ketoras, the Pitzim HaKetoras, the incense they use in the Beis Hamikdash. Half a month in the morning, half a month in the afternoon, every day of the year. And they manufactured it. The reason why they kind of had a corner on that job is because they also were privy to a certain plant called Male Ashan. And that plant, Male Ashan means to make the smoke go up. And this allowed this ingredient could allow for the incense smoke to rise directly up as opposed to sort of go sideways and cloud. And that was considered to be better and nicer, and therefore, since they didn't share other people what the Mala Ashan was, they kept themselves, and therefore they are the ones who did the Ketoras. Elazar al HaParochos. Elazar was in charge of the curtains. In the base of English, there were 13 heavy brocade, gigantic curtains, 7 on the 7 gates around the Azara, and then the other 6, 1 in front of the Ulam, the entranceway to the antechamber, very large one in front of the Heichel between the Ulam and the Kodesh. That's 2 more. And then the last 4 were, there were a pair of curtains that were between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there were another pair that were above those. The building, the Heichel, the structure of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was actually on 2 floors. When you learn Maseches Midos, you see there's a whole upper story there. It was just empty, nothing happened up there. But the divide between the upper story of the Heichel, like directly above the Kodesh Kedashim in the lower one, there was like curtains over there in the upper story. So you have a total of 13 curtains, 7 around, plus Ulam, Heichel, and then 4 Kodesh Kedashim bottom and top. So that gets you to 13. And he was in charge, Elazar was in charge of maintaining them, replacing them. They replaced at least 2 every year. They were heavy. More talks, I needed 300 people to wash them, and there's if they would get, you know, holes from moths or something, etc. So they need to be replaced or maintained. So he was in charge of that. And finally, Ufinchas al Hamalbush. So Pinchas was the clothier in the base of Mikdash. So he made sure the Kohen had what they needed. Perhaps he also dressed the Kohen Gadol when he took on and off his gold and plain linen vestments on Yom Kippur. So he was in charge there of dressing the Kohen Gadol, as well as making sure that the clothing that the Kohanim needed were provided properly.